We're trying to get our head around exactly what happened and how across the city. Can you take us through it?
Yeah, look, it was very well coordinated. It all happened almost simultaneously. I guess if we start up the top at the stadium, there was the suicide bombing outside the Stade de France. France was playing Germany. Inside, tens of thousands, and it's an 80,000-seater stadium. It was pretty much full. Big game. François Hollande, French president, inside. Now, when you watch the footage, the coverage of the match, you can hear the explosion, and the match actually continues. Because this all happened out just outside the stadium. About four people were killed. The suicide bomber was obviously killed as well. A number of shots fired as well. When the match finished, authorities held everyone there and moved them onto the pitch to keep them safe. And while they, I guess, made sure that the precinct in that area was under control. While that was happening, there was a series of shootings at cafes and restaurants quite close to Place de la République, so very popular area, very close to the Charlie Hebdo attack site from January. One cafe, I think, was 14 people killed. A restaurant, it was 18 at one, 14 at another. And then, of course, there's this concert hall. Now, I'm on the street where the concert hall is now, and we are a fair way back, but there is a heavy police presence guarding that site. Just a horrific situation. So a concert hall that holds about 1,500 people, pretty much full for this concert by an American rock band, pretty well known in the music community. Dave Grohl's played with them. Queens of the Stone Age have played with them. And they're on a European tour. At least four men entered that concert venue armed with guns, with explosives wrapped around their waist, and proceeded to shoot people dead one by one, searching out people who were hiding. They were shooting at people who were trying to take cover on the ground. This went on for more than an hour in a siege-type situation. And that's when, about 2 hours after the initial attack, French authorities stormed the concert and managed to save quite a lot of people, but unfortunately we're looking at a death toll there somewhere between 100 and 120 people killed in that particular attack. And it's obviously shocking. There were a number of shots fired at Les Halles shopping centre that a lot of Australians would have visited, the big metro interchange station quite close to the Louvre, not far from the other attacks. Just widespread in the smack bang in the heart of Paris, where people were enjoying their Friday night.
What do you actually, Hugh? You'll be interested. We just got word from the Foreign Minister's office that one Australian, at least one Australian's been injured. We don't know any further details. They're working with the family at the moment. One Australian injured in the attacks. What is happening in Paris now then? I mean, the sun's coming up. Do we even know? We're talking about at least 150 dead, 100 injured. Do we know yet the final toll that we're looking at?
We're probably looking closer to 200 people injured, and of those 200, at least 80 are listed as critical. So 80 people who are still in a very precarious situation in terms of their survival. So the death toll may still rise, unfortunately. It's pretty quiet out on the streets. It's Saturday morning. It is still dark, despite the fact that it's 7 a.m. European winter. Lots of police out and about all night last night, standing on street corners. A lot of unmarked police cars racing about with sirens going and lights blaring, obviously responding to anything that may have been connected, any little tip-off that they were getting from members of the public. And you can imagine that they're obviously going through their hot list of people they've been keeping an eye on anyway, to see who's connected, who's associated, because they say they have killed all the eight terrorists who have carried out these attacks, but who was supporting them and who were their associates and who knew that this was going to happen, because it's pretty clear that the authorities certainly didn't.
I know Islamic State's claimed responsibility. It's too early really to know. It's highly organised, isn't it? Much more highly organised than is normal for Islamic State.
Well, it's quite incredible in its coordination, its the knowledge of what it was doing. You'd have to think that they knew that François Hollande would have been there. They knew that a packed concert was going to be played at that hall that night, and the fact that it happened so close to the Charlie Hebdo attack is significant in itself. And I guess when you look at the sort of attacks that have taken place in the last 12 months, you look at what's happened in Tunisia, what's happened here with Charlie Hebdo, what happened on the train from Amsterdam to Paris that was defused by the American soldiers, even looking at Sydney, they were, what authorities will tell you, were lone wolf attacks. Well, this totally changes the game again, because this was not a lone wolf attack. This was a number, quite a number of people carrying out something that they had clearly been planning for quite some time, that have put some thought into what they're doing without any consideration for human life. But it just changes the game again for authorities, and they're dealing with, it's almost back to square one with the nature of these attacks.
Hugh, is it possible to sense the mood in the city? I imagine it's shock. I imagine it's even sadness wouldn't have hit yet. Do people feel safe? What's the mood like?
The Parisians are incredible. I just caught a cab here and tried to pay the taxi driver, and he wouldn't let me pay him. They pretty much turned the meters off last night to get people home. And if you think back to what we saw after Charlie Hebdo, with those thousands of people, almost a million people out on the streets in the days after that attack, the Parisians do not want to let go of their way of life, and they will not let this is a real body blow. This is a significant hit to their national pride and self-esteem. But I don't think that they're gonna take it lying down. They're gonna get back up on their feet and stand up for what they believe in.
Well, tell them that in Australia they're going to light the MCG red, white and blue. They're lighting the Art Spire red, white and blue, and going to fly a giant French flag from the Sydney Harbour Bridge. Message of support.
Absolutely. And look, I know that there were a lot of Australians here anyway. I was here by chance on a weekend away, and some of my friends are here as well. And obviously a lot of checking to make sure that people are okay. And that's obviously worrying news that an Australian has been injured. But we just hope and pray that news doesn't get any worse. But Neil, there are a lot of countries around the world who are bracing for bad news today. This is a very international city. You know, you cannot imagine that in that number of people that we're talking about, that it's all French, it's all Parisians. It's, you know, there are students from all over the world who live here, tourists constantly all the time through this city. It's a worrying 24 hours ahead for a lot of people.
You take care. Thank you so much for your time. I know you're very busy. Hugh Whitfield, European correspondent for 7 News near the Bataclan concert.